Mr. Blue Sky, please tell us why you had to
Coming up, it's the World Cafe. This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. Telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Find playlists, podcasts, and more at KAXE.org.
If you turned on your radio in the mid-1980s, odds were you were going to hear something bombastic, something loud. And according to World Cafe correspondent John Morrison, that's exactly why the smooth R&B sounds of UK band Sade stood out.
It's just the opposite energy of a lot of what was happening. Prince, Van Halen, Madonna even, you know, just like bold, bright music. This was something very soft and velvety.
If I tell you now, will you keep on loving me?
John is specifically talking about Sade's 1985 Promise, their second album. Coming up on A New Culture Corner, John digs into that LP and talks about how Sade broke through in the U.S. and why that album stands the test of time four decades on. That's on the way. I'm Raina Duras, and this is World Cafe.
For KAXE News, I'm Larissa Donovan with the Up North Report. Teams from Minnesota are assisting in a search for a missing man near the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness. The St. Louis County Sheriff's Office says it was contacted by the Ontario Provincial Police to assist in a search of Lake Lac La Croix near the U.S.-Canadian border. Canadian authorities are on the lookout for 47-year-old Peter Buckle, who is last known to be using his cabin on the Canadian side of the lake. Searches by Canadian authorities located Buckle's boat and a campsite on an island in U.S. waters after checking his empty cabin. St. Louis County Sheriff's Office and Rescue Squad assisted with air, water, and land searches over the weekend, but as of Monday afternoon, Buckle had still not been located. The Grand Rapids Area Library will be open 3 days a week next year after budget cuts forced a significant reduction in staff time. Megan Buffington has the story.
Patrons can visit the library Monday through Wednesday from 10:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. starting in the new year. That's 15 fewer hours than the current schedule. The City of Grand Rapids has long funded the majority of the library's budget, but it says it can't sustain that level of funding and needs to make cuts amid rising costs. The city asked Itasca County to increase its funding to help offset the impact of the cuts, but the county board said no. Library Director Amy Detmer says she worked with staff to come up with the new hours.
We're the experts here. You know, we've been working with the public for many years, and we feel it's the best fit.
It was especially important to be open Mondays, as that's when the most books are returned and when most people need in-person assistance, like help with the printers or passport services. Despite popular demand, they opted not to be open on Saturdays because Arrowhead Library System and city services are only available on weekdays. City Councilor Molly McGregor is leading a fundraising effort to offset the library cuts for 2027. The goal is to raise $300,000 by September, when the city's budget discussions begin. In the first week, they raised about $1,000.
So we only have $299,000 to go. Really, I just wanted people to put their money where their mouth is. Everybody was saying, well, raise our taxes, and that's a very complicated and involved task.
Donations can be directed to the Grand Rapids Area Community Foundation's new unrestricted library fund. The city and county budgets aren't finalized until they host their Truth in Taxation meetings in December. Megan Buffington, KAXE News.
The first snowstorm of the season is predicted to fall on the Northland on key Thanksgiving travel days. The weather system will move west to east, with snow predicted to begin falling on Minnesota Tuesday morning. Heavy snow rates over a 2 to 5 hour period Tuesday could reduce visibility to less than half a mile in northeastern North Dakota and northwestern Minnesota. Northerly winds of 25 to 30 miles an hour combined with moderate to heavy snow rates will likely lead to blowing snow. As the weather system moves east, the Duluth Weather Office predicts the lake effect will extend snow impacts into Wednesday and Thursday. After the snow moves on, a spokesperson for the Duluth office says temperatures will plummet.
We're looking at high temperatures only in the 20s with lows in the teens to single digits. And this much colder air mass is going to, moves in on Wednesday and then lingers through at least next weekend.
About 3 to 6 inches of snow is expected to fall over much of the state, and amounts exceeding a foot of snow are possible on the North Shore. The United Way of Bemidji area is coordinating 2 toy drives to spread holiday cheer this season. Registration for the Bemidji Toy Drive is due by December 4th, and toy donations will be accepted through December 8th, the distribution day where families can select toys for children from infants through teens already registered, is slated for December 11th at the Sanford Event Center. While Bemidji's toy distribution is open to families living in Beltrami, Clearwater, or Hubbard counties, the United Way of Bemidji area is also coordinating a toy drive for the LaPorte community. More information on how to donate or how to register is available at kaxe.org. That's it for the Up North Report from the KAXE News Desk. I'm Larissa Donovan, telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report on KAXE is sponsored by Woodland Bank, dedicated to serving local businesses, families, and nonprofits in our area since 1920. You can find more information online at woodland.bank.
Welcome to the World Cafe. I'm Raina Duras, joined by John Morrison. John Morrison is an author, podcast host, and the host of Culture Cypher Radio on WXPN in Philadelphia, where we make World Cafe. Every month he joins me for the Culture Corner. John, what's up? How you doing?
I'm good, Raina. How you been?
I'm doing well. What have you brought in for us today?
Okay, so today I want to talk about a record that I really grew up with. My mom used to play this record a lot. And this month actually marks the 40th anniversary of this album's release. It's Sade's 1985 album, Promise.
Promise was Sade's sophomore album following their debut Diamond Life in 1984. John, what was going on with Sade as a band when they recorded this album?
Yeah, it's interesting because Sade is one of those bands that, had contemporaries whose music was kind of similar, but nothing. They never fit squarely into any one scene. And when Diamond Life came out, like you said, in 1984, that was a smash record. Like, I think it sold like 10 million copies to date. So they're coming off of this massively successful record. And then they come back with something, these songs on Promise that are just kind of like fantastically understated. It's a very subtle, almost, I don't want to say background sounding record, but like I said, very understated, something that, was the opposite of what a lot of bands were doing, at the time, even in R&B, but certainly in like rock and pop music. So, it was an interesting, state of affairs probably to be as a band to come out and not really fit into any particular scene or kind of incorporate all these different sounds into something unique, and then hit with Diamond Life, become huge, and then have to follow it up with Promise.
We're going to hear War of Hearts. That's the first song you've chosen for us here. Tell us about the song.
Yeah, War of Hearts is a gorgeous, gorgeous song. And you can really hear that signature Sade sound. It's poppy R&B, but it also has the jazz influence. And, like a lot of the songs on this record and really throughout that first run of albums that they put out, it has this very dreamy kind of enveloping texture to it. It doesn't really sound like anything else that came out, in its time.
This is War of Hearts. It's Sade on World Cafe. Four Apart from Sade's album Promise. Promise turns 40 years old this month. I'm Rena Duras talking about it on World Cafe's Culture Corner today with John Morrison. So, Sade from the UK, but you mentioned they were successful here in the US. How did they break through and gain an audience in the States?
Radio, historically, in the US has been deeply segregated. Genre itself in the music business has been shaped around race. So when this record came out, you know, you had very clear lines separating what was black radio, what was white slash pop radio and rock radio. And black commercial radio was really the vanguard point where Sade could connect with U.S. audiences. And it made sense in context. You know, mainstream American R&B in the 80s was all about seduction and sophistication. Black radio specifically wanted a smoother, more accessible sound. And Sade, I know I just mentioned that they didn't fit into any scene, but the sound really fit into that programming style and format style of black radio at the time. This was about 10 years after the Quiet Storm radio format was introduced to black radio.
What does that mean, the Quiet Storm radio format?
Yeah, so the Quiet Storm was a radio format, late night black commercial radio format that prioritized this kind of like smooth, silky, in some cases with like a record like The Art of Noise, Moments in Love, almost like ambient sound. You know what I mean? It was very much a radio format that was the opposite of some of the like high energy, up-tempo stuff that was happening on black radio. It prioritized this smooth, very romantic sound.
Right, right. So this album sort of like it hit kind of at the right time for that.
Yeah, absolutely. The Quiet Storm was established on black commercial radio, and audiences in the U.S. were ready for something like this. The sound, the image of Sade as a band, it all fit in.
Tell us about the song Sweetest Taboo.
Yeah, speaking of Quiet Storm classics, Sweetest Taboo might be Sade's signature song. The groove is smooth, is very subtle and understated. Helen's voice is absolutely gorgeous on this record. And it's just a nice melding of cool jazz and R&B and pop. It made sense that this was a hit record in 1985.
Well, let's hear it. Here's Sweetest Taboo from Sade.
Give me the
On World Cafe, you just heard Sade with Sweetest Taboo. World Cafe correspondent John Morrison is here with me. I'm Raina Duras. The Culture Corner today, talking about the 1985 Sade album Promise. Looking back at 1985, the year that Promise was released, there was so much great music coming out at the time. What made Sade and this album stand out?
Yeah, I feel like the 80s... just generally in pop music, it was a very loud, bombastic decade for music. You had hip hop, pop, rock, all of these genres that were up tempo, funky. It had a real weight and volume to a lot of the music. But this record is, like I said earlier, so understated. It almost unfolds slowly and softly. It's just the opposite energy of a lot of what was happening with pop music at the time.
Yeah, it's true. When you say like 80s music, just in general, I think overstated usually is how I like imagine 80s music.
Prince, Van Halen, Madonna even, you know, just like bold, bright music. This was something very soft and velvety in the sound.
Why do you want to play us Fear by Sade?
Yeah, Fear, I think, is one of the great sleeper songs on this record. To me, melodically and emotionally, it kind of feels like something that Joni Mitchell would write, but it has that dreamy 80s texture to it. There's these beautiful lyrics about taming the beast of fear. It's just a remarkable song.
This is Fear. It's Sade on World Cafe. From their 1985 album, Promise, that was Sade with Fear. Raina Duris with you on World Cafe with John Morrison. It's the Culture Corner. We've been talking about that album. So 40 years after Promise was released, why is this album important? What did Sade contribute to music at large?
I think that, especially now, because a lot of younger people, really since like the Tumblr era, a lot of younger people have been kind of revisiting Sade and you know, Helen looking like she looks and having like the aura that she has. I feel like a lot of young people are revisiting this music and taking influence from it. And in my mind, Sade is one of those bands, kind of like Led Zeppelin, Can, you know, the Rolling Stones, bands whose influence is enduring. Like, it's kind of like a cheat code for musicians and artists and young people who want to pull from the past. Sade is one of those bands that people keep coming back to in that sense. They not only changed R&B, their influence has shown up everywhere, like Drake's sample Sade, MF Doom, you know, Aaliyah, the Deftones covered Sade. You know what I mean? Like, really across genres, they made something very specific musically, but people from all over pull from it, you know? So I think that Promise being such a strong record in that early run of Sade albums, it's a significant contribution that the band left behind.
We've been talking about the album Promise from Sade. It turns 40 years old this month. John, thank you so much for taking us through it.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you, Raina.
John Morrison is an author, podcast host, and the host of Culture Cypher Radio on WXPN in Philadelphia, where we make World Cafe. He joins me every month for the Culture Corner. I'm Raina Duris, back in a moment with more World Cafe. Just before the break on World Cafe, we were talking about Sade's album Promise. John Morrison was on the Culture Corner. You can find all of John Morrison's Culture Corner segments online. And the best way to do that is to make sure that you are subscribed to the World Cafe podcast. Search World Cafe on your favorite podcast app. Make this show part of your podcast rotation. Here's Tame Impala, Lost in Yesterday on the Cafe.
chairs and knocking down tables in a restaurant in a West End town. Call the police, there's a madman around, running down underground to a dive bar in a West End town.
In a West End town, a dead end world, the East End boys and West End girls. In a West End town, a dead end world, the East End boys and West End girls. Choose a hard or soft option.
How much do you need?
In a Western town, a dead end world, the Eastern boys and Western girls. In a Western town, a dead end world, the Eastern boys and Western girls.
Western girls.
Cafe.
All my flannels made in Bangladesh, all my t-shirts in Vietnam. There are places that we quietly ignore, there are places that we go and bomb. Jesus, even more about life too. They say that the way of the doubt was to do nothing. Then what the hell am I supposed to do? You know, the harder you think, the deeper you sink, the tighter you grip, the more that you slip. So I'm singing this song about loving I didn't see. You know, the harder you think,
When the Truth Comes Out from Kathleen Edwards. Coming up, new music from a band who've been thinking about how to make the live concert experience something you can enjoy anywhere. including right here on World Cafe.
KEXE went on the air in 1976. This year, we lost federal funding like all of public media, but you have come forward. You have told us that KEXE matters. We're grateful for all of you, and especially for the folks that have been here from the beginning, people like Michael Goldberg and Gail Addison.
You know, for me and Gail, it's really been two things, a fabulous music education of all the music that we never imagined or knew anything about, and we're learning still every week. And then the other thing, of course, is that everybody we know through KEXE.
Yeah, we've made a lot of decisions in our life based on having access to this radio station, an extremely rare opportunity to learn a new skill and to share your love of music and to meet so many people through this station as well.
Support KEXE now. Text the word donate to 218-326-1234.
I'm Marina Duras. It is World Cafe, and jam bands are known for their live shows, right? That's the real heart of what a jam band does. They jam out. You never know where a song might be going, and that's why it's so exciting to go see a jam band over and over again. Now, Pigeons Playing Ping Pong, they know this, and it's something they were thinking about while making their new album, Feed the Fire.
One of our biggest challenges is to harness that live energy into the studio, to take that organic, natural rush and package it into something that is not live. It can be played in the car, it can be played at a party, like you just don't even know the setting in which you're providing the soundtrack. You gotta get to the point sooner while still letting the music breathe.
That's one of the members of Pigeons Playing Ping Pong talking about their latest record. They are on tour now, but if you can't make it to see them live, here they are with a new one called Calm Before the Storm.
I'm not afraid to A regalo on couldn't drink alone. I'm feeling good, damn, I'm feeling so fine. I'm living on a cloud above an island in my mind. Oh baby, don't be alarmed, this is just my vibe. Don't need to walk around, no, it's not too bad.
One of the great songs about someone losing their mind in a hotel. To close out this hour of World Cafe, thank you again to John Morrison for the Culture Corner segment you heard earlier. And thank you to World Cafe senior producer Kimberly Junod for her work on that session. Also, thank you, of course, to all of our affiliates all across the country who bring you this show. We produce this show at WXPN at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. I'm Raina Duras. Thanks for listening to World Cafe from NPR.
World Cafe is supported by AEG Presents, presenting Brandi Carlile's The Human Tour 2026, with stops across North America. Tickets are available now at Brandi